Let's just pray before we get started. Dear Lord, I ask that you would just be here with us this evening and that you would just speak through me and help me be able to tell what you've put on my heart and just make it go into our hearts and help us to remember it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my topic tonight is joy. I figured since my name was Joyce, maybe I should, it would kind of fit with me anyhow. So, actually, the biggest reason I want to talk about joy is because I think that it's something that's very important in the life of a Christian, and there's a lot of Christians that don't seem very joyful to me, and I think that we just need to take a look at what the Bible has to say about joy and make it more part of our hearts and our lives. The Bible talks a lot about joy. In fact, it's mentioned 242 times in the Bible about rejoicing and having joy. And so I think it must be pretty important. In Philippians 4:4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "Rejoice evermore." So these are more commandments than just nice little suggestions. So what is joy, and what are reasons for having joy? Like, what gives us joy, and how do we get it and hold on to it? And this is going to fall off of here. First of all, joy is not necessarily happiness. We a lot of times get those two mixed up. And we think that if somebody's not jumping up and down and having a big grin on their face all the time, they're not a joyful Christian. And that's not necessarily true, though they sort of go hand in hand, but joy doesn't necessarily come from happiness, but happiness does come from joy. So, first of all, happiness is from the word hap, which just means happenstance, happenings, or by accident, or whatever. And so it's basically, happiness is basically determined by your circumstance. You're happy whether, when something goes good, and you're sad when something goes bad. So it's pretty much just triggered by things around you, like getting flowers and hugs and stuff. At least hugs make me happy, I don't know. So if you just think of all the things that make you happy, those are, if we say something made me happy, we don't necessarily mean something that's inside of us as much as just momentary. And it can leave. It's just an emotion. Non-Christians can have happiness, but they can't have full joy like we as Christians can have. Things can make them as happy and sad, make them go back and forth like us. But joy is something that is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so, really, we can only get joy from God. It's something that is deep in our hearts. God puts it there through His Holy Spirit. And people around us can't take it from us. People in circumstances, Satan can't steal it from our hearts. And it's something that's very valuable, and we need to hold on to it. So how do we get joy? Like, where does it come from? What are our reasons to have it? And the answer to that is found in Isaiah 12, 2 through 3, and a couple other verses. Let me find it here. Isaiah 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. So basically, our joy comes from our salvation, from hope. And in Psalms 35:9, it says, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. So that's our hope right there, is our salvation. And he says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be a shield to you. And really, that's something that nobody in the world other than Christians can have. It's something that since we can only have that salvation as Christians, anyone who is a Christian, they are the only ones that can experience that true joy. Now, I think that sometimes we do get a little, it becomes a little easy for us to give ourselves too much room to have a grouchy day or just... And I think it's a sign that you don't really have joy in your heart. And the Bible does tell us not to murmur, if I can find it here. Philippians 2. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So, it's basically saying that because of the fact that we're supposed to be shining to people around us, we're supposed to show them what it's like to be a Christian. We're supposed to show them the joy that is inside of us. And if they're seeing just sadness, grouchiness, not necessarily sadness. Sadness isn't wrong. It's not wrong to be sad. But just grouchiness and having a bad day, they're not going to want to know what the joy is that you have, right? Because there's not really joy for them to see. And so I think that we have to be more careful to show that to people, to show the grace of God in our lives, to show what God has done for us and where we've come from, and show what we're going to. We have hope. It'd be kind of amazing if we always looked at trials and stuff like that, like that because of hope. Well, it actually says in James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It's kind of odd that it says that, because trials kind of tend to be the biggest thieves of our joy. Things happen and we stray from God, we get further away from God, because we're drowning in our sorrow, we're drowning in that instead of resting in Christ and putting our joy in Christ and finding our joy from Christ. I think trials are a thermometer, sort of how close we are to God, what our relationship is with God. And they show us all the areas that we're not surrendered. anything that any trial that comes into our life is for a purpose. That's why it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's always a reason. God's pruning us. He's trying to take us higher through trials in our lives. And if we can look to the hope that we have through Christ and His salvation, that can make those trials seem way less. And that can, it gives us a strength to get through those trials. In Nehemiah 8, he says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Basically, he's saying the joy from the Lord gives us strength to fight. We need that. We need the strength of joy when we have trials that come into our lives, because we can't get through them on our own. And rejoicing does definitely tend to make us look at things a little different when we rejoice. Oftentimes, when battles come into our lives and stuff, we tend to just sit down and give up and not want to keep fighting. But we have joy in Christ, and that's our strength for those trials. King David was chased around a lot and by his own son. And there's a lot of Psalms where he talks about the struggles and the trials that he was going through. And he always, in the end, gives God praise. He always puts his joy in the Lord. In Psalms 63:7. Should have written some of these down. He says, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wing I will rejoice." And also in 27:6. "And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." So, even in the midst of all of his trials, he still was singing. He was still having a song in his heart and rejoicing in the Lord. And I think Christ is our biggest example of that. I don't think you would necessarily say he was happy going to the cross. He prayed. He prayed that he would be let out of it, if there was any way. He knew there wasn't. And it says, because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He knew that soon he was going to be sitting at the right hand of God. He knew that there was something beyond, and this was only temporary. And he was able to put his joy in Christ, in God, and he was able to endure the cross. And if he's able to endure that for us and die for us, I don't know, shouldn't we be able to go through trials and take them willingly and with joy for him? Because of his salvation, we're redeemed by him. We should be able to go through that also. He even tells us in the Bible that if he had to go through things, if we're going to follow him, we should expect it. And we're going to go through them too. So the question is, can we do it with joy in our hearts? Can we do it while still rejoicing? So how do we get that joy? Like, how do we get it? The answer comes in John 15, 1-12. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth fruit. That's the purging that we were talking about earlier. And one of the fruits that the purging might bring is actually joy. verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so you may be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy may be full. That my joy may be full in you, and that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So, the way to get this joy is by abiding in Christ. We can't get this on our own. We can't bear fruit on our own, it says in verse 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So, we can't do anything on our own. We cannot get that. The fruit is something that we get through a relationship with God. And how do we keep a relationship with God? By reading his word. And it says that, actually, in verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So, I would encourage all of you to, you know, make that a high priority, first priority in your life, because in order to get any of this fruits of the Spirit, really, but in order to have this joy that's able to fight your battles, that's able to give you strength to go through those trials, is to abide in Christ, is to keep that relationship with Christ. And the more you have that relationship with Christ, the fuller your joy becomes. It doesn't stop. You don't get a certain amount and that's all you get. It's made fuller. And, you know, some people sort of feel like they're at a point in their life where they're reading the Bible and it's just sort of going through them. They get nothing out of it. And I heard an illustration one time and I really liked it. It was about a basket. When you pour water into a basket, what happens? It just sort of goes through and goes through. You think it's not doing anything because it's not holding the water. But the basket is cleaner by the end. And I think that's what it's saying there when it says that now are ye clean through the word. It's going to clean you. Even if you're at a very low point in your life, where you don't feel like you're really getting anything out of it. It's going to clean you. Keep doing it. I promise. Something will come of it. You will get closer to God, and he will get closer to you. He'll draw closer to you, and he'll be able to give this joy to you. And I guess my favorite part of that verse there is actually the very end, and that your joy might be full. And I looked up the word full, and it means maximum. It means maximum and complete. So, basically, God's offering to take it to the max. And the max is not going to be till we die, obviously, because if we are abiding in Christ and we're growing closer to Christ every day, it's going to be fuller and fuller. And he's going to complete it. I just like the word maximum there. It sounds so big. It sounds like so much. And it's not necessarily talking about the big grin on your face all the time, you know. That comes from things happening like you like them to. It's not necessarily that, but I would also like to say that I did say happiness is not joy. But happiness does come from joy. Remember that. It is an outpouring of what's inside your heart. And if you are not a happy person, there's a possibility you're not a joyful person either. So I'd just like to leave you with that. Search your heart and find out if you are a joyful person. And stay close to God and get closer to God so that you can find that maximum joy that He offers us.